Hi, I'm Mickey Lowe.
Hi, I'm Bishop Todd. And welcome to the C4SO podcast.
Hi, I'm Todd Hunter. I'm excited to share this special holiday episode of the C4SO podcast hosted by Reverend Vanya Gomez of C4SO's Racial Diversity and Justice team. Vanya interviews Sarah Shin and Shin Meng about their wonderful children's book called The Deliverer Has Come, A Christmas Story. Shin is an accomplished artist, and his wife Sarah is about to receive her PhD in systematic theology from Aberdeen. This is one of the best conversations you will hear about pursuing dreams, about raising our children immersed in the stories of the Bible, about waiting, evangelism, and the creative process. Here now is this intriguing conversation.
Sarah and Shin, thanks so much for being here with me today. I'm so excited to talk to you both. How are you guys?
We're good. Yeah, no, it's evening in Scotland, but you know, we are just so excited to chat with you, Vanya. So we're just, this is just really fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm so excited to talk about this beautiful book I have right here. And I read this book with my daughter. She had a million questions, so hopefully I'll be able to answer some of the questions after our conversation.
We should have her on and have her ask us all the questions.
I know. Next time, we should have thought about that. We'll do that next time.
Next time.
So I'd love to start off with a very simple question. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I mean, so first and foremost, it was more like I was the primary caregiver for my kid for the first 3 years of our first 4 or 5 years of her life. Basically, I kind of put my career on hold as an artist and gallery artist and stuff like that. And so we do this thing. It's a 5 minute of dreaming. So she shares about 5 minutes about like everything that she wants to like dream about. It could be just like the dumbest thing. It could be the most amazing thing. It could be just like chocolate cake. I don't know. You know, it could be a whole host of things. And
I don't know if I dream about chocolate cake, but yeah.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'm just saying in general, that's never come up, but I'm just saying. But in general, I think, so I shared one time and I was like, I really want to try and be a children's author, illustrator. And I would love to do that. And she's like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this thing. And so we got an agent, we got a publisher, and she wrote the book, she wrote the story and just like went for it. And I was just so grateful that it was like she heard and listened to the dreams, because I had, you know, kind of given up on some of the career opportunities that I had in my career for a couple of years. So it's just such a lovely thing. So,
yeah. And some context is that he was taking care of our daughter, who's now six, while I was doing my PhD in theology. Right. So I'm graduating this week.
Yay.
Thank you. So I think in this final year of the PhD, when we were dreaming and he said, you know, if I could be a children's book illustrator, I'd be so happy. I was like, we are going to pursue this. You know? So, so it's been really fun to kind of enter into the season where dreams are being realized.
And so kind of a chicken or the egg question, what came first, some of the illustrations or some of the writing?
So I think we have worked together quite a bit on different projects. I worked for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in the US, and Shin's work was contracted at times for different evangelism projects, and I worked for the evangelism department. And so when he was like, you know, what about a children's book? I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, we're always looking for good books with good art and good theology for a daughter. So we're like, you know, Advent's kind of like a cool way to like start that. And also for me, I'm always looking for Christmas books and Advent books from our kid that isn't just about the moment of Jesus's birth, as beautiful and powerful as it is, but that's connected to the larger story of Israel and Israel's waiting and anticipation. So yeah, so I think I was like, well, what if we did this? And so I kind of came up with this big story arc. He was like, yeah. And then so we were just like riffing off of each other. Like, yeah, what if this spread looks like this, you know, or what about that? And for me, like I wrote the lines thinking about what I knew he was capable of drawing, you know. So there's a lot of conversation happening. So it was very much a collaborative project. Like, you know, he was giving input in the writing. I was writing and imagining what he could draw. So it was a Yeah, I don't think it was just like a write the story and the hand it off process. It was very iterative and collaborative.
And also, like, it's just like she just has known me for so long and how I operate and how I draw. So it just kind of seamlessly, like, I think if I write this, it's going to look like this. And it's just kind of, we just go hand in hand. It's really great.
Do you have a favorite memory while you guys were in this process of something that you guys connected with or you guys discovered about each other?
That's a really good question. Well, okay, so I'll go first. I think for me, I just really like working with Sarah. It's just very, very easy to work with. Even though she like pulls out the best out of me. It's not like she's like easy on me or anything. It's just
I'm his biggest supporter and his harshest critic.
I have so many like wonderful and strong women in my life, you know, from my daughter to my wife to my art editor to the editor. Like, they're just so lovely and wonderful. I have a great team, but it just hasn't been. I don't think it's the vision of the work that I'm doing or what we're doing is just never got deviated. It's like, oh, it should just be like this, or it should be edgier or this and that. It's like it just kind of kept on going, and it just was an iterative process. And I just was like, man, this is great.
I feel like if I've had time to sit on this question, I would maybe have a different answer. There's one spread where Annika, the main character in the story, she's watching all these different people get to meet Jesus, like shepherds and Anna, who is an actual character in Luke 2. So we made up Annika as like a we use our imagination to create a grandniece for Anna named Annika. So she's kind of like, everyone's getting to meet him but me. When will I get to meet the deliverer, which is the title we gave to Jesus? And we were kind of talking about, what would this look like? So she's sitting on a hill looking at the stars, and you know, we're talking about like evoking Abraham looking at the stars and remembering God's promises. So there's this kind of visually evocative sort of connection to Abraham waiting and looking at the stars. But it was so beautiful when he drew it. Like, I just was like, I remember seeing it, and it was these gorgeous like deep purples and blues and this, you know, sky filled with stars, and it was so beautiful for me. It felt like it captured like that scene and this little girl looking out into a sky full of stars, because that theme of waiting and hoping and promises is so important to the book, and I think to the season of Advent. So I think that's a moment that stuck out where I was like, yes, you know, like I knew he was capable of like drawing beautiful things. And you know, it was kind of, there's a lot of wonderful key moments for me where I got to be the first one to see a piece, like each spread like a piece.
The Starwood page was actually really good too.
Yeah, there's one where she like sees a star for the first time. It's like, it feels like
it's just so beautiful, the whole thing. Like, you turn to the next page and you're like, I just opened up to that star picture. And it's great. So you mentioned, you know, from the beginning about anticipation and hope and all of these themes that have to do with Advent and Christmas season and obviously are in the book. And you chose to talk about these themes through Annika's eyes. Why was it important to tell the story and talk about these themes from a child's perspective?
We want to kind of have this, we want them to, the kids to be in the story. Like, how if I was in the story, how would I feel? What would I go through? What would be the process? Like, it's like through the eyes of a little child. And we want the children and even the adults to actually explore the world through the child's eyes, through Annika's eyes. And I think that it's, what is it, gospel contemplation-esque, you know? It's just like we want them to just be in it and have those same questions. Would they even have the same questions? I mean, it's just, but it just evokes that. It's like, we want the curiosity. We want the, why is it so hard? Why am I waiting? What is going on? And all these things. And so I hope that was the thing that came out of it. I really hope that kids, when they read it, there's not just like a third person perspective, but actually that I recognize that I might be Annika, or I might experience things like Annika by reading this book.
Yeah. I think like, because with Advent, there's a double waiting, right? Mm-hmm. We're like remembering Israel, anticipating the Messiah, that God's promised one coming. So we remember that anticipation, that coming. But as we remember that waiting and anticipation, we're also anticipating like the second coming, right? What is promised. And so instead of making the story really about like, well, all this like waiting is now like done and whatnot, like I think we were just like, what would it look like for this little kid to be in the story and for a kid to see the story through her eyes, and then like the deliverer has come, but then it's like, okay, so now what? You know, it's almost like there's kind of this natural, what does it mean to live in the story, and for those questions to come up for a little kid. Like we wanted for the depth of faith and conversations about the depth of faith to continue from the book. And I also figured if you can make it accessible to like a little kid, there's so many opportunities to give away the book to another friend or even to adults, which we're seeing even in the book, having come out for the past couple months. Like if you can try to explain it to a small child, then also explaining it to someone who didn't grow up in the church, who doesn't identify as a Christian, like there's similar sort of conversation opportunities that can be drawn out. So there are just multiple things going on for us. But in the end, I was like, what does it look like for our daughter to understand that Jesus's birth is both like a fulfillment of a promise and also like it helps us also hold on to a yet unfulfilled promise about God making all things new.
Yeah. So I mentioned that my daughter had lots of questions. What are some questions that you would encourage parents or grandparents or great aunts to ask the children that they're reading to as they engage with the book?
I mean, I think on a fun level, I just, our church, we're part of a vineyard church in the UK. And so all 8 sites were using the book to do their kids program. And so it was fun seeing the kids interact with it. And something that always comes up is like, there's all these visual Easter eggs. Like the first 2 spreads in particular, you can see Noah's Ark, you can see, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, you can see like the creation story. So it was kind of like, what do you see? What little pictures do you see? Do you know the story behind them? Do you not? And so I think especially if maybe a kid's not as familiar, just having the pictures then lead to stories is like a fun Easter egg kind of thing. And then I think with the theme of waiting, it really depends on the kid's experience, right? Some kids, they're like, you know, like, I can't wait to open presents. The moment they think about like waiting or, you know, I can't wait to like go on holiday that my mom or dad told me about like 4 weeks or, you know, ago. So it might be something that connects with that. And then at the same time, there's children that are very well attuned to kind of the harder, you know, hardships of life that adults are very well aware of. They might be waiting for someone to come back. They might be waiting for, you know, illness for recovery from illness, all these different things. And so I think just that if there are ways that the theme of waiting and the depiction of waiting and anticipation can lead to deeper conversations, I would encourage that. But it kind of depends on the kid, right? Like some kids were like, Christmas, I want the presents, like that's all I think. And I'm like, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, like when I got to, so in Scotland there's a state church, which is the Church of Scotland, and so some of the primary schools, the public schools, they'll have religion classes. And so I got to read at one of the local schools here. And so I got to, you know, like ask questions to them. And it was oftentimes the question that I think I want parents to think about and kids to think about is like, well, there's a couple. The one is like, what are you waiting for? Is there something you're waiting for that's meaningful more than just like, you know, something like, I can't wait to go swimming, or I can't wait to do this. But it's like, is there something longer? Is there some kind of deeper longing that you want? Right. And then the other thing is like, what do you see? I think that is like kind of like what Sarah was like, and she says stuff so much better than I can, but like, that's what I draw. I don't use the words. I'm kidding. But, you know, but yeah, it's like, what do you see? Because I wasn't the best reader. I have ADHD, a little bit of dyslexia and all this kind of stuff. And reading was always kind of difficult for me. So I kind of want the kids who can't sit down for a very long time, but them to be able to look at it and just say like, what's this? Or what's this story? Why is there a golden calf? Why, like, this is why, what is this stuff? And then that curiosity can lead to like really diving deeper into the Bible and maybe even having a relationship with Jesus, maybe, you know? So it's all these things that I think as a kid, you know, I just want them to like be curious and say why.
And I think also like, I think something that has been really important to us as we have more and more friends that do a lot of like kids ministry and children's ministry is I think particularly with the waiting theme, it's, I think just to make the story just about, okay, Jesus has come and now like now joy, you know, with yes, there is joy, right? There's like, you know, the angels are singing for a reason, but also that that's part of a greater like longing and God fulfilling his promises and waiting for that. And that adults can share that in a way, you know, that it's appropriate for children, you know, but I think giving children foundations and bricks that they don't have to throw away later, that you know, we can, you know, trying to be appropriately honest with kids. We're like, yeah, like waiting is something that's really relevant. I'm waiting for this. I haven't seen it yet. And, but I'm trusting and hoping because of this. And some days are, it's hard. And some days like I'm full of hope, but having those conversations about what exactly is faith, that it's not just like everything steady Freddy and, you know, that it actually is this journey of like trying to trust. And there's some days where you feel like even the strain, right? Or the fears that come up of like, God, are you really there? You know, are you really going to lead me? You know, are you really trustworthy? And also then showing the stories and telling the stories of when we're encountering the Lord and we're encountering the Holy Spirit actually responding, right? And showing up and answering prayers. Like all of that requires more than just saying like, this is what faith is like, this even keel thing, but actually this dynamic relationship of trusting God, going through valleys and mountains, like hoping that those kind of conversations, whether with children or adults, that is the stuff of like actually lived relationship with Jesus. So I'm hoping that that the theme of waiting and these stories about waiting that's depicted, the little Easter eggs, that that can open up really good kind of conversation, reflecting even about faith with little ones.
I love that you wove in a lot of those stories, not only just in the Easter eggs to try to find them, but then you gave us kind of this guide to be able to go back in case we missed them, because I totally missed some of them as I was reading. I love that it can, the story continues, right? Like it doesn't just stop at Christmas, that they can continue exploring some of these stories and making those connections when they come back to it next year and say, oh, I remember when we talked about that throughout the year. So what do you hope that readers will feel or take away from The Deliverer Has Come after reading it for the first time?
I don't know. I think for, gosh.
Do you want me to go first?
No. I think I should go first. I mean, I have like, even before the book has been out, I have had like tears. I'm like, I would just look at it and read I would like hand write out the lines and I'd read it and I would like look at the piece and I'd be like, I'd start crying. That's how powerful the Lord is, what the Lord is doing in this book. I really want to have a sense of like, I think my favorite response is for someone, and this is maybe not a hope, but this is like what I've observed, is a friend of ours. We gave them a book, but they had already pre-ordered the book. So they gave it to their mom. And apparently their mom just read it. And she's not a believer. She doesn't know anything about Jesus, but she just read the book. And she just apparently just wept because it was such the waiting, like she had experienced, like she needed, like she actually has some medical issues. She's like, I'm waiting on the Lord. It's actually opened up a whole host of conversations and potential like opportunity to even talk to them about Jesus, right? And pray with them. And I think that I just want, when someone looks into it, it's just like that they're just reignited with the story, that it's not just another Christmas story, or it's like, I actually, when I visited that primary school, I was like, this is not a Santa Claus Christmas book. And they're like, ah, but they were just so fixated by the book and by the story. I want them to just be like, wow, this is so much more deeper than just another Christmas story. You know,
I think for me, what's been surprising has been the reactions from adults as well as children. Like children, they love the pictures. They love, you know, this idea of like just the story moving. They're like, when's she gonna meet him? When's the character gonna meet Jesus? But the adults, when they read it, and whether they're Christian or not, what's been really fascinating is that it moves them to tears. Either it puts a finger on a place of like tender waiting, or it reminds people afresh, like, we need good news. Jesus is good news. We need to be reminded. And we, especially in these times where there's so much chaotic stuff happening, the world, the US, that we need to hold on to the reality that is declared in scripture, that we experience in faith through the Spirit, that Jesus, the deliverer, has come and he's with us. And this is not the end, you know. So I'm hoping that hope is rekindled, that people are reminded, and that also that children get a sense of the story that's bigger than like a punctiliar one-time moment that of like Jesus being born, but it's part of a larger story. Like I think for me, increasing kind of the desire to learn more of the stories of scripture, like I would hope that that's something that happens because of the pictures, you know. The pictures really do seem to captivate children quite a lot. But did that answer your question, Vania?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. So as we wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to share with us about the book, about your experience, or anything that you would like to leave people with?
I think, okay. There's a couple.
It's 10 p.m. here. Bear with us.
Bear with us. But no, I think one of the things for me has been to not give up on your dreams. You know, it's like, and this is more of my personal story. It's I was a postman at the United States Postal Service. I was a university dropout. I've done everything under the sun that was manual labor. Through the Lord, you know, he kept on just inviting me to like risk and take a chance and do this and do that. And he would open doors. And I saw like this, like all these kids when they were like asking me about like, oh, like, what is it like to be an artist? Or what is it like to be like doing your job? And I'm just like, it's one of the best things. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. But it was one of the best things because I'm following my dreams. Like whatever your dreams are, like, please don't just say like that was back then and I need to be more sensible, but actually to be like, is this dream actually compatible with God? And I think, I know that is not related to the book in many ways, but I think for anyone who's like hearing and listening to this, if you do have like a dream that's like kind of like, I just need to put that aside because I need to do whatever, like, pray about it. Let God like lead you and guide you.
He went like super deep there.
That was beautiful. I love it.
I think something that for us, I guess that is that this book we really wrote not just in the hopes that it would help children become more familiar with thinking of the Christmas story in the larger narrative of scripture, but also that it could be something that you can give away, that the book, that the story would be exciting and that you'd want to share it. So whether it's children sharing the book with friends that might not be familiar with church or scripture, or even sharing it with adults, like the pictures are beautiful. I got a text message from another friend of a friend who does the children ministry at a church in New Haven. And she was like, there's 25 families at our church, so we got 50 copies so that we can give each one one for them and one to give away. And I loved that vision, because I was like, oh, she's getting it. She's understanding what we're hoping that this will do, which is that the goodness of the story of Jesus coming, that's something that we feel like we can share, especially at a time like Christmas. Like, that's like one of the few times some people are even and be open to, you know, going to go hear a Christmas carol, right? Or going to go to some Christmas, you know, concert or something at a church. But I'm like, oh, it'd be kind of wonderful if it aids in any way in helping share the goodness of the story of Jesus, then please take advantage of that, because we're seeing that people are doing that. So yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys so much for talking to me about the book. Everybody, you heard it. When you order, you can't just order one. You have to order two. One for you and one to give away. It's totally worth it. And I'm so excited to talk to more people as they read it and experience this book. Sarah and Shin, thank you so, so much. And Merry Early Christmas.
Thank you so much. And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the C4SO podcast. If you like what you heard, please feel free to share this episode and subscribe and leave a review. It helps us to get the word out. Thanks.